Welcome to Libertarians Working for You with host Arvind Vohra. Our program explains how to solve the most critical problems we face in America today: unemployment, debt, healthcare affordability, high taxes, loss of personal freedoms, loss of privacy, threats of war, and more. Now, here is your host, Arvind Vohra.
Welcome to Libertarians Working for You. I'm your host, Arvind Vohra. Anytime we get a serious libertarian candidate into elected office, anytime we get a libertarian elected, that means fewer business roadblocks, it means less impediments, innovation, it means better education, it means lower taxes. Here's why. Let's say that you were somebody who, say, designs educational curricula, but you're not very good at it. What might you do? Well, no parent's going to buy your services. No individual is going to buy your services. The only way to get your product sold is to do two things. One, have the government buy it. And two, make sure that the government prevents your competitors from getting in your way. That's why libertarianism is so fundamentally opposed to cronyism. We take away the tools of cronyism. We make it impossible for those who are incompetent to get their products sold, to get their services sold, and to blockade their competition. The more libertarians we have elected, instead of being forced into the national embarrassment that is our public education system, you would be able to choose the private sector school that is best for you. Just like you can choose your own restaurant, you'd be able to choose your own school. Instead of having drug prohibition creating crime, we would have less crime, more safety, and more security. To parallel the previous example, let's say that you're somebody who's working in a prison, you're part of a prison guard union, and here's the thing, there might not really be that much real crime out there, not enough to support you getting a better job or keeping your current job. You might have to get a different job. What might you do? Maybe you would want to create a system that created more prisoners, that created more criminals. Again, that's what the Libertarian Party stands against. We stand against using the government to create jobs, to create fake jobs for people who don't have a real product or service that they're willing to sell. Today we have two candidates on the show, one for county council, the other for secretary of state. Later in the show, we'll talk to Jacob Holloway, candidate for Arkansas secretary of state. But first, we'll talk to Jeremiah Morrell, candidate for Henry County Council in Indiana. For over 10 years, Jeremiah has served as a project coordinator, working in the civil and highway construction fields. He has developed broad experience in accounting, project management, information technology, and engineering. Jeremiah, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, Arvind.
Jeremiah, let's talk about what got you interested in running for this particular office?
Well, 2 years ago, I was a candidate here in Indiana for state representative and had a real good showing. Got some other friends active in the local county party, and we took a little bit of a different approach. State House seat that I ran for last time, there's another fellow running for it, and it's had a long legacy of being probably the number one State House seat for libertarians in Indiana. We got about 27% of the vote last time, and there's a fellow named Brad Owens running for that seat this go-around. So this time our strategy in Henry County was we've got three of the four county council seats. We're a county of about 50,000 people, and we've got candidates on the ballot for 75% of those races, and I'm one of those candidates this time.
Now let's talk about what happens if you and some of the other libertarians who are running for county council, what happens if you guys get elected? What are some of the changes that you might make? I mean, are there county level laws and regulations, for example, that you could repeal?
Absolutely, yeah. What we want to do is in rural Indiana, we struggle with one party rule where there are probably Republicans dominating the county courthouses. And they start to lose accountability. So what we are basing our platform on is trying to find ways to repeal laws, to sunset things, to find ways to reduce the role of government across the board. What we ask for from the state level and grants, the way a local county commissioner or council meeting works is those folks essentially apply for money. Every county council session they have, different department heads come in, and they have these monetary requests. And all that they do is they simply look up the food chain to the federal government or to the county government, or the state government, the county does, trying to find more money. And our view is that the whole system needs to be changed. And if the local government entities stop asking for the money and actually stop suckling at that government teat, there will be some changes. You know, in an additional way, the current council 3 years ago chose to, instead of sunsetting a tax that had been in place for 25 years that had been put in place to build for a specific function, to build a Hall of Fame museum in Newcastle, Indiana, those folks, instead of sunsetting that tax when its purpose was over, they realized that they've been collecting taxes for 5 years after something had been bought and paid for, and they had this huge bank account. So instead of getting rid of the tax, they just decided, hey, let's go ahead and spend that on about 20 other projects and gain favor around the community. So that's the kind of thing we're trying to change.
So what you could do if elected, and if you guys are elected, you could just literally just shut down taxes like that right away.
Absolutely. Anytime we have that opportunity, especially, this is the financial arm of the county council. If our candidates were elected, we would have the opportunity to make that change, and all of the taxpayers in our district would benefit from it.
And that's really why some of these local races are so much more important than people realize, because it's the local races that allow us to shut down that basic money dump to all the people who haven't earned it, don't deserve it, don't need it, at the expense of those who have. So, I mean, we're really talking about giving people the money that they earn back, not even giving it back, preventing others from taking it in the first place. And that's something that you'd actually be able to sponsor legislation for. Is that correct?
That's exactly correct.
And just to be 100% clear for our listeners, that is something that then you would be willing to sponsor legislation for.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, I think in this particular case, what the what that taxing entity did is they've committed themselves. They've taken on debt against that. But at the next opportunity we would have to eliminate it, it's the food and beverage tax. Basically, anytime you go to one of our county's restaurants or to a sporting event, they add 1% to your bill to pay for all of these pet projects. First chance we get to eliminate that, all of the libertarians that we're running would be sponsoring that and trying to eliminate that tax.
And that's something that's so powerful, because we're talking about literally every time you're in a restaurant, every time you're anywhere. And there's a huge multiplier effect we're talking about, because that means now more people will be able to frequent restaurants. That means more people are in the restaurant business themselves are beginning to seeing slightly higher profits or just slightly more customers. I mean, we're really talking about, 1% doesn't sound like a lot, but if we really look at the economics of that, 1% change in a tax is a humongous change. I mean, that's the difference between 5% sales tax and a 6% sales tax.
That's it. Yep. In Indiana, we already have a 7% sales tax, and now you're up to 8%.
Yowza. I thought Maryland's as bad as it gets, but it sounds like it can get a little bit worse.
Absolutely. Yeah, we've got, in Indiana, we pay personal income taxes, we pay property taxes on our personal property and on our actual physical property that we own, our homes. And then we have sales tax as well. We get taxed at every level, plus the federal levies.
Yeah, let's talk a little bit more about some of these areas right after this break. We're right now talking with Jeremiah Morrell. He's a candidate for Henry County Council in Indiana. One of the things that he's planning to do is sponsor legislation to eliminate the food and beverage tax that's right now just dragging money out of Indiana's economy. You can keep up with his campaign at jeremiahmorrell.com. Now, here's the thing. Candidates like Jeremiah are working to get government out of your way, but they can't do it alone. You got to get to lp.org/states and see how you can get involved in campaigns in your state. Help us and Jeremiah downsize big government. You're listening to Libertarians Working for You. I'm your host, Arvind Vora. We'll be right back.
The Internet's number one talk station.
Number one talk station.
VoiceAmerica.com.
Want to help make our world a better place, but not sure where to start? Tune into Better Worldians Radio with the creators of the social game on Facebook called A Better World. Join hosts Ray, Mary Sue, and Gregory Hansel, who will inspire you to make a big difference in small ways. They'll speak to experts, authors, volunteers, and everyday people who are changing the world daily. Better Worldians Radio is heard live every Thursday at 11 a.m. Eastern Time, 8 a.m. Pacific Time on Voice America Variety.
Listen for Trust Across America every week on the Voice America Variety Channel. Tune in as host Jordan Kimmel is joined by national experts in the fields of accounting, finance, organizational behavior, and sustainability, as well as companies that are applying strategies that are enabling them to be recognized as doing the right thing by the American Trust Awards. Your host, Jordan Kimmel, is himself a trusted professional with years of experience in applying strategies and consulting with today's leading firms. Trust Across America is heard Wednesdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific, on Voice America Variety.
Stimulating talk.
It gets those synapses in the brain firing really fast.
All the time. The number one internet talk station where your opinion counts. VoiceAmerica.com. This is Libertarians Working for You. If you wish to connect with our show, please call 1-866-472-5788. That number again is 1-866-472-5788. You may also send an email to comments@lp.org. Here again is Arvin Vora.
Welcome back to Libertarians Working for You. We're talking with Jeremiah Morrell, candidate for Henry County Council in Indiana. In the last segment, we talked about how he plans to sponsor legislation to eliminate Indiana's food and beverage tax, which right now is being used solely for the purpose of funding unnecessary pet projects and crony capitalism in Indiana. Jeremiah, what are some of the other things that we can accomplish if you're elected for county council?
This is kind of a niche issue, but I think it's actually important. Our county council in our district decides that they're going to meet and vote during the week at about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. They have very poor reporting of what happens at their meetings. And if you're like yourself or I, you have a day job, you can't make it down there at 3 o'clock in the afternoon for their meetings. So something that we are trying to make happen, every opportunity we have, every debate we're in, anytime we get the opportunity to make the case, we want high-definition video to be made available of each meeting, live-streamed to the Internet, so that it's available and it's a public meeting. In addition, I would very much be in favor of changing those meeting times. The individuals that are on that county council get to determine when their meeting time is. They meet once a month at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and it's essentially a public meeting, but nobody's there because folks just don't have the ability to be there. So we're using the platform that you're giving us and our local debates. I think we're actually going to be involved in two different debates in the next couple weeks coming up to the election. And just trying to create visibility and accountability for those that hold those seats.
It's so important that you say this, because one of the different difficulties we often see in local government is that because so much attention is given to national government, so much more corruption can happen at the local level. And what we seem to see having here is clear corruption. I mean, this whole food and beverage tax, the fact that it's still there is, I can't even describe in any other way than corruption. The fact that it's still there is pure corruption. And the fact that they're making it so difficult for other people to keep track of what they're doing is essentially defending that corruption. And so it's I think it's really important that you're talking about bringing that kind of transparency to local government that we need to see at all levels of government. What do you think would be some of the effects let's talk about these two issues. What do you think will be some of the effects if we do see an elimination of that food and beverage tax?
Well, I think it would be an opportunity for us and for other politicians and libertarians to point to something they've actually accomplished, where they've said, no, enough is enough. You've actually turned back the tide on taxes. When was the last time that you actually saw taxes go down in a legitimate way? You know, mm-hmm. it, it's, it's it's awful easy to continue taxing something when you've had something in place for 20 or 30 years. But it takes a little bit of willpower and fortitude to say, no, we're done. We're stopping. We're turning it back. And you will actually have something to point to that the libertarians have accomplished that has shrank government and has turned back the tide against us. Every year, every election cycle, there's just a little bit more. You know, your gas tax goes up, your property taxes go up, your Social Security, you know, tax rate, in time is going to try to change. Obamacare is going to drive your costs up. Across the board, your taxes are increasing; they're not going down. And this is, at least in our little part of the world, this is where we're drawing the line, saying, "Hey, we want to make this change."
Absolutely. And I think that's such an important idea that people don't realize there's no guarantee that says taxes can only go up forever and ever and ever. We also do have the option of actually lowering them, of cutting government, of repealing some of these laws that exist right now. I mean, that to me is exactly the correct mindset for any serious libertarian. The libertarian isn't just somebody that holds a certain set of belief. It's somebody that engages in a certain set of actions, and that set of actions is cutting government. And the fact that you guys are all doing exactly that is so, so important. Let's look at the regulatory side. Are there regulatory issues that the county council can affect, or is that in Indiana primarily something that only the state level can deal with?
We have decent home rule. The way that local government is organized in Indiana, you kind of have an executive branch and a financial branch. The county council is a financial branch, so in this race, our opportunity to affect things is really on the purse string side. That's something that's happening in rural areas, Rush County, Henry County, Indiana, and many others. Is urban chicken farming. We're primarily rural community, but there's a personal freedom issue that keeps coming up where these small towns or even the counties are not letting people use their property, and they're not letting them operate or very small poultry operations. So we're around here, we like to have chickens, and they are treated on the regulation side by these local counties the same as cows or horses or anything else. Where you can have essentially, it's not uncommon for somebody to have 4 or 5 acres, and there may be a rule that says, yeah, you can have 1 horse per acre, but they apply that same rule and logic saying you can have 1 chicken per acre, or you may need to have 10, or you may need to have 10 acres before you're even allowed to have a single chicken. It's just ridiculous. And in Rush County, Indiana, those folks have been fighting they've been negotiating with the local government for about the last 3 years to try to get that changed, and it hasn't happened. It's just unreal. It takes years of work and lobbying to get any of this accomplished.
And it seems clear to me that there's a very clear beneficiary to something like this. I mean, if you're not allowed to grow to raise your own food, you have no choice but to turn to some other company that's providing that food. And we can safely assume that companies like that have their lobbyists and are working to maintain those restrictions on the natural right of any human or any animal, for that matter, to pursue and grow their own food.
Absolutely.
Now, is that something that would then be happening in? Is that something that part of the county council, or is that would that happen somewhere else?
Well, in our county, there's a small town called Spiceland, Indiana. There's about 800 people that live there, and there's a town council that particular issue affects. And then there's if something's not inside of a town jurisdiction, it's up to the county, and the county council. Gets to appoint either one or two people to a board that essentially deals with the zoning rules for the county. So you have influence, but it doesn't come directly to the county council. We get a certain number of board positions on the committee that gets to make those rules, but not final say.
Okay, that makes a lot of sense, and that's actually really important. I mean, the one of the things that we see just in any state is that influence is really in many ways almost as effective as a vote, because I mean there's you have so many these are people that you're working with, you know, kind of depending on in many ways, and also it carries more weight when you bring attention to that issue. I mean, if you as an elected county councilman in Henry County make this point, it carries a lot more weight than if the average person just kind of mentions this. And I think that's a really important thing. I mean, as elected officials, we have that leadership power, that ability to draw attention to some of these issues that's really reserved for a very small number of people.
And there are certain issues that just seem to find their way to the front page of the newspaper. You know, we can make a case and make a complaint about, you know, how water and sewage rates are too high, and nobody cares about that. But as soon as you have a 6 or 7 year old little girl holding her chicken and in a basket of eggs, man, that's the kind of issue that you can win folks over and win hearts and minds on. And those are the issues that that are easily relatable, and we can get some traction.
Absolutely, and that really makes a lot of sense. I mean, there's the idea that some of these things even need to make it to the front page is already troubling enough. I mean, just the fact that there's some kind of a situation that's allowing this to happen is troubling enough. And I think it's extremely, in one sense, it's kind of tragic, but on the other side, if that can help us draw attention to some of these government abuses, that can help us start to realize that government isn't the solution, that government isn't our friend, that government is exactly the thing that we're working against in this process, that we are really working to restrict and shut down and limit what government can do, so that we all have more freedom and can do great things and make great innovation. I think that is an extremely important step in the right direction. Jeremy, let me ask you this. If somebody wants to get in contact with you, if one wants to get to be a part of your campaign, well, how should they go about doing that?
The best place to reach out to us this go-around is to go to my Facebook page, Hoosiers for Jeremiah, facebook.com/Hoosiers for Jeremiah. You can like us on there. Be aware of the different events we have coming up and we have two different chambers of commerce in our district that are going to be hosting debates, so we'll be active with that. But that's the best place to catch us.
And tell us just real briefly, you know, some of the other council people who are running. This is a concerted effort. I mean, you're not an army of one over here. You have some people who are running with you. How many people are running for this for county councils right now? Do you know?
There are 4 seats open. We have 3 folks running. A lady named Lisa Goldsberry is running in one district. A fellow named Jesse Riddle, who is our county LP chair, running in the second one. I'm running in the third. We actually have a libertarian candidate that will be running for re-election, and there's no ballot opposition to him. Actually, it's for one of our township advisory boards. A fellow named Steve Kaufman. He'll be actually winning re-election this year in Liberty Township. Indiana.
Nice.
And then we have the state representative candidate as well, Brad Owens. So we'll have, in our county, there are 5 local level libertarians along with our 4 up ballot folks as well. So good representation in Henry County, Indiana.
Awesome. Well, Jeremiah, thank you so much for being on the show today.
My pleasure. Thanks, Arvin.
You know, folks like Jeremiah are making such an important difference because they're doing 2 things. One, if they get elected, if all 3 of these good libertarians get elected, we're going to immediately see major reductions in taxes. We're going to be lowering that tax rate from effectively 8% down to 7% in Indiana. And that's, you know, those of you guys who've studied quite a bit of economics understand that that's not just a tiny change. That is a major, major change. That is thousands of dollars, maybe millions of dollars back into taxpayer pockets so that they can spend their money wisely where they see fit instead of allowing the government to spend that money on foolish pet projects and crony capitalism. But the other thing that people like Jeremiah are doing is they're setting the bar higher. Now, other non-libertarians who want to be taken seriously by voters will have to pledge the same thing. And if they're pledging that same thing, they're eventually going to have to follow through on it. There's literally nothing that you can do as a libertarian that's going to make a bigger difference than running for office. Running for office is the single biggest contribution that you can do to the cause of liberty. If you're interested in doing that, go to lp.org, learn about how to run for office. You're listening right now to Libertarians Working for You. I'm your host, Arvin Vora. We'll be right back.
Streaming live, the leader in Internet talk radio, VoiceAmerica.com.
If you hear a dog barking or an angel singing, then you know that you're listening to Waking Up in America. Heard every Wednesday at 3 Pacific Time, Valerie Kirkhard and all of her friends will bring you powerful and humorous discussions that raise thoughts and give you insight on how to live your life to its fullest potential. Adventure is always a must on Waking Up in America with Valerie Kirkhard, every Wednesday at 3 Pacific.
Are you a business innovator or are you just sitting on the sidelines? Tune in every week for Coffee Break with Game Changers, presented by SAP. Host Bonnie D. Graham talks to a cross-section of the movers and shakers who are leading by example. They will share best practices and innovative ideas to keep you thinking and moving along with the best. Join us for Coffee Break with Game Changers, presented by SAP, Wednesday mornings at 11 a.m. Eastern Time, 8 a.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Business Channel.
Emotional intelligence has been documented to be the most important skill for a leader to move up in an organization. Leader's Playbook will unpack what emotional intelligence is, why it is important, and how you can raise your emotional intelligence for yourself, your direct reports, and your team. Join Dr. Relly Nadler every Monday morning at 9 a.m. Pacific, 12 p.m. Eastern, to the Leader's Playbook on the Voice America Business Channel. Your success could depend on it.
The Internet's number one talk station.
Number one talk station.
VoiceAmerica.com. This is Libertarians Working for You. If you wish to connect with our show, please call 1-866-472-5788. That number again is 1-866-472-5788. You may also send an email to comments@lp.org. Here again is Arvind Vora.
Welcome back to Libertarians Working for You. One of the most important positions that you have at the state level is the Secretary of State position. The Secretary of State is involved in so many issues relating to voting rights and to ballot access. And our next guest is going to be running for Secretary of State in Arkansas. His name is Jacob Holloway. He currently works in Geographic Information Systems Research at the University of Central Arkansas. He is passionate about horticulture and food science, and if elected, will actually advocate for local community agriculture. He's also running to talk about ballot access and voting rights. Jacob, welcome to the show.
Hey, I'm glad to be on the show. This is my first time on the show, and I'm pretty excited to be here today.
Let's talk about this idea. I mean, ballot access. We you know, in libertarian circles, we talk about ballot access and voter rights all the time, but it's something that even many libertarians don't really understand even what that is. Okay, can you explain, like, what exactly is ballot? Is it? What is it about?
Well, it kind of started recently. Ballot access laws are a new invention in American democracy. It really only happened in the last 50 years that we started to see some of the first ballot access laws make it into different states, and it was because of a challenge of third-party candidates actually in the 1960s. That lost a lot of votes to the Democratic Party from challengers like William Wallace and Strom Thurmond. We know who these guys are. And that kind of had the Democratic Party in the South kind of panicking. And that's where you saw, like, your first ballot access laws were actually to keep some of these kind of more radical elements of the Democratic Party in line. Mm-hmm. And it had an unintended consequence, because at the time, really, we used to have in the past 150 years of American politics, you know, post-Civil War, we had a lot of third parties. You know, think of the Republican Party as like the main third party that came out post-Civil War to dominate American politics. And so third parties were pretty strong. They were a very vocal force in American politics. And it's not until recently that the ballot access laws came in, and I think it's very important that we understand that these laws are unconstitutional. Even though they're being enforced and they're on the books of the state legislatures, nothing in our Constitution, nothing even in our state constitutions allow state legislatures to have laws like this.
And we can look in and we can take a look at Arkansas to understand. I mean, it's important that people understand what the motivation is behind these laws. We have somebody running in. We have Frank Gilbert running in Arkansas for governor. That's correct, right?
That's correct.
And now I'm going to say, he's somebody that's pledged to, to pardon nonviolent drug offenders. And that means some of these people whose jobs depend on maintaining this abuse of human rights known as the war on drugs, those people don't want him to be elected. And they don't even want him, they don't even want the possibility of him being elected. They don't want that even to be an outside chance. All the cronies that depend on his opponents don't want him there. Working for normal people that means their special privileges are gone. So it is important to realize that they are trying to blockade very specific types of ideas because those ideas, while they benefit almost everybody, hurt very politically connected people. I mean, that motivation is so important.
Yeah, just to follow up on what you said on Frank Gilbert and his stance on the drug war, Frank Gilbert's running against the former DEA chief. George W. Bush's former DEA chief has moved back to Arkansas and is running for governor of Arkansas, Asa Hutchinson. And I used to cite Asa Hutchinson. I was a former intern for Students for Sensible Drug Policies when I was in Washington, D.C. And I've quoted Asa Hutchinson before on many of the lies that he used to spout about the drug war. And Arkansas almost passed medical marijuana in 2012 with a 49-41 split, 1% split, 15,000 votes made the difference. And this state's on the way to drug reform, drug policy reform, and now we're getting someone like Asa Hutchinson, former DEA chief, coming to the state. Not only do they not want Frank on the ballot, they don't want us even discussing these ideas.
Exactly.
And that's part of the chilling effect of ballot access laws.
From the national level, right now, those of you guys who wonder why the Libertarian Party doesn't have more TV commercials and things like that, it's not that we don't have the resources for them. We certainly have the resources for them. The issue is that right now we have to spend about half of our national budget fighting these ballot access blockades. We're basically, in order to even be, if you're a libertarian, the first thing that you want more than you want a TV commercial, you want to be able to vote for a libertarian. That's the first thing you want. And to provide that service, to make sure that those who want to vote libertarian can do that, that takes about half of our national budget. And it takes a ton of state budgets. I mean, it's a huge amount of money that essentially they're trying to, I mean, what are they doing? They're trying to gut our marketing budgets as much as possible.
Exactly. And it's a huge problem because there's several reasons, it's a multi-faceted problem that these ballot access laws face to political parties that want to start. One of them is it's very hard to even organize a political party because if you want to start a political party here in Arkansas, you have to collect at least 15,000 signatures in 90 days. It has to be a registered voter. Those have to be verified.
15,000 signatures in 90 days. I mean, that is a ridiculous
Half of them are going to be thrown out, so you need to collect like 30,000, And by the time you've done all that, you spent over, if you're going to be paying for $150 per signature, $1 to $2 per signature, you're spending like $60,000 to get on the ballot. No one that I even know who's running for office in the Libertarian Party here has that kind of money. And so what I've seen is a lot of people just sacrificing their time, going out and getting signatures and not even wanting to get paid for it because they just want to get the Libertarian Party on the ballot. Same for the Green Party in Arkansas. They've had to do the same thing. And what it really does is it puts a chilling effect on anybody's ability to use their God-given right to run for political office or have any sort of political representation outside of the Republican and Democratic parties. Mm-hmm. And it's working beautifully, really, for the Democrats and Republicans because it's very imposing for us to be able to even meet the challenge to get on the ballot. And then when you get on the ballot, they have another challenge waiting for you, which is the ballot litmus test. And the ballot litmus test is a completely other hurdle you have to pass to stay on the ballot. So even if you get ballot access, you got to meet the litmus test next. And if you don't meet the litmus test after the election, you got to go through the whole process all over again.
Explain what goes on in this litmus test.
Well, the litmus test, now that is where we've sued the state of Arkansas before over the litmus test, and you know, that's an ongoing litigation. And basically what it says is that political party can maintain its ballot access only if one particular office, which is the gubernatorial campaign or your presidential office, meets the 3% threshold. And in Arkansas, we have, so our gubernatorial races are every other year that the presidential race is not. So we don't elect our governors the same year as the president. And so either on the years that the governor is running, you got to get 3% in the gubernatorial race, which is what we're trying to do right now with Frank Gilbert. And thank God the last poll came out. Frank's got 3% right now. So it looks like we're on the path to beat this ballot litmus, or to actually meet it, even though it's totally unconstitutional what they're doing. We have enough support in Arkansas. We're probably going to make this. But even if we do, the next election for the presidential cycle, then we have to get 3% for the Libertarian presidential candidate. Well, that's insane, because that's up to the national party. We don't have any control as a state party who they send to Arkansas. If the presidential candidate from the Libertarian Party comes to Arkansas to campaign, we don't have any control over that. And so we have to get 3% for a presidential candidate. There's no way that's going to happen. I mean, it could. It's theoretically possible, but Gary Johnson got just at like 1% in Arkansas, so it's a huge, huge hurdle for any third party to make it and stay on the ballot.
Absolutely. And that really right there is why the work that we're doing right now is so important, because, you know, it's going to come down to this. It's going to come down to, can they prevent us, not just from getting people on the ballot, can they prevent us from getting these libertarian ideas out there? Can they prevent us from explaining to people, here's what we're going to do. We're going to get better education. We're going to get the government out of education. We're going to make sure that you're safer, because we're going to end the war on drugs. We're going to make sure that your sons and daughters aren't squandering their lives on yet some other ridiculous military foolishness, because we're going to bring the troops home and stop invading every country all the time, always. That's what we're going to be doing. And the thing is, now because we have modern media, because we have shows like this one, it's like they can't control the media, they can't control the information anymore. And so all they're going to be able to control right now is ballot access. And as you've seen, they're doing their best, and they're spending money, and they're making these stacks of ugly lawsuits all over the country to try to keep us just off the ballot, because libertarian ideas have gained that kind of traction. Let's and you know, just right after this break, we're going to talk a little bit more about ballot access and some of the other areas that we can talk about, you know, in terms of Secretary of State. Let me just say this before the break. Right this weekend, Libertarian National Committee met, and we came up with what we're considering our most important goals for the next 2 years. And the top of that list is going to be candidates. Our goal is to have at least 1,000 candidates coming up in by the year 2016. That's 1,000 people that we can vote for, who we know are going to go in there and cut government, remove some of these special cronyist privileges. But in order for that to happen, we're going to need people to run for office. Right now, we're talking with Jacob Holloway. He's running for office as Secretary of State in Arkansas. And if you really want to help the Libertarian Party, you need to do the same thing. Run for office. Because if you run for office, and we're going to train you, we're going to give you the training, and we're going to give you the support, and we're going to do whatever we can to make that as easy as possible. But you need to take that first step. And that first step is go to lp.org right now. Go to run for office. Go to the menu. Go to find run for office. It's really easy to to find. Get your information in there. You will be contacted, and we'll make sure that we can do whatever we can to help that happen. But there's nothing you can do that's more beneficial to the cause of liberty than running for office. Right now, we're talking with Jacob Holloway. We'll talk to him a little bit more after this break. You're listening to Libertarians Working for You. I'm your host, Arvind Vora. We'll be right back.
Stimulating talk
gets those synapses in the brain firing really fast.
All the time.
The number one internet talk station where your opinion counts. VoiceAmerica.com. Wealth Generators empowers your personal freedom with a simple, repeatable program for success. Our stock market experts bring extensive experience and deliver it directly to our members so they can invest for themselves. Now, for a limited time, the Financial You listeners can try the Wealth Generators program risk-free for 30 days for only $1. That's right, just $1. You will have access to our three weekly trade strategies for a full 30 days. After the trial ends, our products are covered by our Triple Your Money Back guarantee. If you trade our strategies for 6 months and lose money, we will pay you three times your subscription fee back. That's how confident we are in the Wealth Generators program. In addition, you can earn by referring others to the program. If you tell a friend and they join, you get paid. Not once, but each and every month they remain active. Trade like the experts, build residual income, and take the first step in generating wealth. Enroll now at WGOffer.com.
It's time to take a new look at some of life's changing moments. It's time to listen to an expert who has been there and can provide insight through experience, studies, and enlightening guests. Tune in to Illuminating Now, Lindsay's Life Secrets. Host Lindsay Levinson takes a look at relationships, parenting, health and wellness, divorce, depression, sexuality, philanthropy, and mental health. You'll look at everything you know in a different way. Illuminating Now, Lindsay's Life Secrets, airs Wednesdays at noon Pacific, 3 p.m. Eastern on Voice America Variety.
Now you don't have to stay linked to your desktop or laptop. Take Voice America on the go and listen anywhere. Get our mobile app for iPhone, BlackBerry, or Android at the Apple iTunes App Store, BlackBerry App World, or Android Market.
This is Libertarians Working for You. If you wish to connect with our show, please call 1-866-472-5788. That number again is 1-866-472-5788. You may also send an email to comments@lp.org. Here again is Arvind Vora.
Welcome back to Libertarians Working for You. We're talking with Jacob Holloway. He's the candidate for Secretary of State in Arkansas. His website is jacob4arsos.wordpress.com, as in Jacob 4 Arkansas SOS Secretary of State .wordpress.com. Now, in the last segment, we talked a lot about ballot access, and it's so important to understand ballot access, because if you want to have all these great libertarian things, that means better education, that means more safety, and greater ease to start a business, more ability to grow your own food if you want to, higher quality food, you know, more choices, more jobs because other people can start business. If you want to have all those things, the first step is you need to be able to vote for a libertarian. And what the Secretary of State can do is to help make it possible for libertarians to actually be on the ballot, because they're working so hard to keep libertarians off the ballot entirely. Jacob, what are some of the things that a Secretary of State could do to help make sure that we do, you know, what can a Secretary of State do to get rid of some of these ballot access restrictions, or at least advocate against them?
Arkansas has a pretty old constitution. We have one of the oldest state constitutions in the country. And so one of the things that the framers of the Arkansas Constitution did was they broke up the powers of the executive. And so the governor is not the only executive office in the state that executes laws. And one of the powers of the Arkansas Secretary of State is the enforcement and execution of election laws and the certification of elections. And it was really supposed to be a impartial office, though it is partisanly elected. And, you know, that's something that I think should eventually change in some respects, because I think the Secretary of State stands in a very unique position because they certify all these elections and enforces the laws, and they have to do it impartially. And one of the things I can do as Secretary of State, as soon as I come in as the Chief Executive Officer of Arkansas Elections, I can go to the Arkansas Attorney General and say, we need, you know, I see that this ballot access law is putting an unfair burden on our people's ability to be able to access their political system, and I'm asking you to go to a state judge and put an immediate injunction on these laws, because I, as Secretary of State, see these laws as unconstitutional, and I will not enforce these laws because they are unconstitutional, and I don't have to enforce them. Mulberry versus Madison, United States Supreme Court case. Any law that is unconstitutional at the moment that it is written and enacted is immediately null and void. It is never a law, was never enacted. It has no standing in a court. It cannot be executed. It cannot be enforced. And so these ballot access laws being unconstitutional, the minute that I am elected Secretary of State, I have the executive authority to say, this is unconstitutional, I'm not enforcing this, I'm going to the state attorney general, which is what I should do under Arkansas law, is use the attorney general of Arkansas to say, let's go to the state judge, I'm putting an injunction on these laws, we're going to have at least one election cycle where people aren't going to have to go through this ballot access, because, I've seen too many people, libertarians, greens, independents in this state, try and run for office, they get frustrated, they can't get on the ballot, and people are discouraged. And I've seen people get really upset because they weren't able to run. Independents even, I think they have just as much a right to run, and you shouldn't have to be a partisan office holder. But, and I think that's my job as the law enforcer of election laws in Arkansas, is to make sure those laws are faithfully executed within the Constitution of Arkansas and the United States. And if we're passing unconstitutional laws, then I need to be doing something about that. I need to be making sure that laws are lawful and that they are not infringing on our rights as citizens to have access to our political system. So that's a big thing I can do.
And that's a huge thing. Let's just think about what that means for the cause of liberty. I mean, that means instead of having to spend $60,000 on just trying to maintain our just basic and fundamental human right to vote your conscience, instead of having to spend all that money there, that's another $60,000 that we can spend to help educate the public about these other options. I mean, it's not really, we need to convince people about these ideas, and these ideas are pretty convincing all on their own. I don't think anybody wants more crime and more violence and worse education. They just don't know about this alternative. And once we get that information out there, that $60,000 worth of information sharing out there, and that's going to make a humongous difference. Real briefly before we run out of time, and one of the things that you've talked about there are so many restrictions that governments try to put on people's natural right to grow their own food, to raise their own food, and that's something that you've actually talked about bringing all the way to the state house.
Exactly. Well, I have a bachelor's and master's degree in agricultural science, and so this is something that's a personal favorite of mine to talk about. One of the interesting powers of Secretary of State in Arkansas is they actually have janitorial and custodial control over the state capitol. They hold the keys to the capitol. They maintain the grounds of the capitol building and our gift shop. And so one of the things that I have went to business owners in Arkansas and small businesses particularly who are interested in the libertarian cause is I've said, if you want to sell your items in our gift shop, your locally made food items, I want to promote your local business. And I go in the gift shop right now in the Arkansas State Capitol. I see a bunch of junk with Arkansas written on it, but then it's all made in China, made in Pakistan, Bangladesh, none of it's from Arkansas. It says Arkansas on it, but it was like made in China. It's not even a product from our state. And so one of the things I like to do, especially like a lot of these local businesses, we have a lot of food-related restaurants opening up making local products, local honey, local soaps, things that people, artisans make, and you know, I want to promote those businesses in our state capital because we have so many people from all over the country want to come to our state capital and see our state capital because it's almost an exact replica of the U.S. state capital on a smaller scale. And that's something, you know, I can do as Secretary of State, very small thing. One of the other things that I could do is start a garden on the state capitol lawns. And I want to start a garden to promote our agricultural heritage in Arkansas, which is such a big issue in this state. We're a state with a long heritage of agricultural production. And I really want to showcase that to the tourists and the people of Arkansas when they come to the state capitol. I want them to see that their agricultural heritage is being represented on the state capitol grounds. And then that food that's being used or grown on the state capitol grounds can also be used in the state capitol cafeteria, which is another little small thing that in the capitol I would have control over is the food in the state capitol cafeteria, which is right now being contracted out to one of these large corporations, cafeteria corporations that, you know, make prison food, you know, also make the food for the state legislators when they come to the state capitol. And, you know, when you bring people down there, you know, it's just cafeteria food. And wouldn't it be nice if it was not a local Arkansas-grown food that's fresh and really showcases our heritage of good cooking? You know,
absolutely.
And we have a lot of good food here, and it's not in the state cafeteria.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. Well, Jacob, I mean, this has been so eye-opening. I really want to thank you for being on the show.
Well, I appreciate the invitation, and I really appreciated getting to talk about some of these issues and sharing this on a national level.
Absolutely. You guys, you're listening to Jake. We're talking with Jacob Holloway. He's running for the Arkansas Secretary of State. His website is jacob4, that's the number 4, arsos.wordpress.com. Now, if you want to really get involved and make a big difference for liberty, you got to get to lp.org and run for office. Do what Jacob is doing and actually stand up and make a difference at the federal, at the state, local, or federal level. What Jacob's doing is going to make sure that ballot access is good in Arkansas, and that means he's going to make sure that you, if you're in Arkansas, you're going to have your right to vote for a candidate that reflects your beliefs defended. You're listening to Libertarians Working for You. I'm your host, Arvin Vora, signing off until next week.
Thank you for tuning in to Libertarians Working for You. Please join Arvin Vora again next Wednesday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time, 2 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Variety Channel. We hope you have a great week.